Praise God. I wanted to get right into this message, so we're going to forego everything else because I have a lot of ground to cover. If I can get to it, I want to give you some practical aspect. You know, part of what we, when we teach, and we teach the word, is not just the theory, but it's the how to do this. Because it's important that we know how to do the word, not just hear the word, but know how to do it. And I want to get to that today. So last week I started on, it's called Manifesting, the series is Manifesting God's Reality. And I want you to understand, God has a reality for us that is different than the world. The reality that God has for us is far better. And it's not just eternal life, sweet by and by in heaven. It is here and now. And then heaven when we go home. And we don't typically live the reality of God because we don't dictate what He's already given in us. We dictate the reality we live in either according to the world, the flesh, and the devil, or according to the word and the reality of what God says we have. We dictate it because He's already given it to us. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? Given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All these things are authored in heaven for here. For right now. But we don't live in it because we don't dictate or we don't decide to live in the spiritual reality that He's got for us here, which is so far above what's happening in this world and in this time. It's why we don't see the miraculous, we don't see the supernatural, we don't see the reality of what God's promises are, but we base everything on what's going on in the world around us. You can change that. We can change that. This morning, just what we did. These are the spiritual realities that God has for us. This is what He has. We want to live there. I don't know about you, but I want to live there. Right? In the world, there's more, and there's probably always going to be a COVID issue or some kind of COVID issue until the day that Jesus comes back. More fear. More junk, more problems. There was a school shooting in Oakland County. You know, it's like one thing after another after another. It's always, I'm going to say it's always been this way, but it's getting worse, which we all know, and God's gotten us prepared for this, right? Over the last couple of years. But that's the world's reality. Our reality is supposed to be different. So if we're going to manifest God's reality, manifest, and if you take it in the Greek, it means reveal. Revealing God's reality in our own lives. If you're going to manifest God's reality, there's some things we have to get. First of all, we're born again. If you're not born again, it's not going to happen. But if you're born again, if you, at the minimum born again, your reality as a new creation in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17, has changed everything. The whole playing field has changed for you and me, but we don't always think about that. We're not always cognizant of the fact that we're new creations and everything in our life has changed. Everything. And we look at the mirror and we say, well, we're still the same. We look at our lives and everything's the same. Oh, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Well, then you are building the reality you're going to live in rather than the reality He has for you. You know, we got born again by faith. And every aspect of building and manifesting God's reality in our lives is by faith. By faith. And Foma, you taught most of my message today in your class. So this is going to be addressed for what do you call it? A refresher on Ifoma's class. That kind of tickles me. So we're going to manifest either God's reality in our lives or we're going to manifest the world's. It's one or the other. And we do have a choice. And it is up to us. So that means we bear some responsibility. Right? God's already done it. He's already given it. He's already made it happen through Jesus Christ. The rest is up to us. So if we're going to do this, we're going to do it by faith in Him. I want to give you a couple examples of I have time, I'll do both of them, but a couple examples of scriptural examples of manifesting God's reality. And one, let's go to Elijah. We don't have to go there because I'm going to have to buzz this fairly quickly. In 2 Kings, and I'm not going to go to all the details of it, in 2 Kings there was a prophet of God named Elijah who was living in Israel. Israel and Judah were two separate countries at this time. And in the country of Israel, they had gone wacko. It was a country gone mad. They had left the worship of God. They had left the worship of the Lord. And they turned to a false god called Baal. A demonic, perverted, awful thing. But again, the country had just gone mad. There were, you know, the bulk of the people in Israel were worshiping Baal. Sounds a little bit like the USA, doesn't it? And so this country, Israel, at that time was ruled by Ahab and Jezebel. And everybody go, ooh. Okay. James 5:17 says that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was just like you and me. Same. Same feelings. I mean, same thoughts, same, you know, going through the same stuff, life and living life. And yes, he was a prophet called by God. But he manifested God's reality. This is before Jesus. This is before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, when everybody who's born again can manifest God's reality now in their lives by faith. So here's Elijah. There's just one instance. He challenges Ahab to bring all Israel and all the priests of Baal to Mount Carmel by the sea. And he says, we're going to have an exhibition here and see who the true God is. Okay? Okay, so everybody gathers. They're all on Mount Carmel. And everybody's there. And he says to the priests of Baal, there's 450 of them. He says, you guys take, we're going to each take a bull or a sacrificial bull, and we're going to put it on an altar, and we're going to put the, you know, the wood under it, and the God who lights the wood by fire is the true God. And so they said, okay. So he said, Elijah says to the priests of Baal, he says, you go first. He says, more of you, you go first. And so they cut up their bull and they put it on wood and everything's nice and dry because there had been a big famine there. It hadn't been any rain for a while. And the bull's laying there on their Baal altar and they're screaming and they're jumping up and down and they're hooting and hollering and they're cutting themselves and bloody all over and bleeding and they kept doing it 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 for hours. And Elijah mocks him and he says, hey, maybe you got to wake him up. He might be out on a nap or maybe he's taking a vacation. So they did louder for hours. Whirled around and jumped around and screamed. Can you imagine the chaos? And you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing. So about the time of the evening sacrifice, which I thought was interesting, the evening sacrifice, Elijah says, okay, it's my turn. And he takes the bull and he cuts it up and he puts it on the dry wood. And then he says, I want you to bring some barrels of water. And I want you to pour them over the bull and over the wood and over the altar and everything else. Soak it. And they got all done and he said, okay, I'll do it again. And they got all done and he said, do it again. And he said a real simple prayer, and I'm going to paraphrase it. Lord, Show them who you are. Yes. Bang! Crack! A fire from heaven falls and consumes the bull and consumes the wood and consumes the stones and consumes the water, and the people fell on their face and said, "The Lord, He is God." Amen. Now, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he manifested the reality of God. Why? How? He was willing to hear God's voice. He was obedient to do what He said. He believed God in his heart. And his mind was on the thoughts of God. On Lord, You're it. You're big. You're real. You're true. And that was his thinking. And he manifested God's reality right in front of everybody. And began to change a nation. You know, that is God's grace in action. Grace is God's ability to do what we cannot do. It is His supernatural ability to do what we cannot do. Just like what we did this morning. That's God's grace in action. That's His supernatural ability. Manifesting His reality is manifesting His grace. Now, the next one I want to share with you, and I was thinking about this, I haven't read John G. Lake's bio for a long time. And the Lord really put on my heart to read John G. Lake this morning. He's one of my faith heroes in healing. And as I was reading, refreshing on John G. Lake, if you haven't heard of him, this is about 100 years ago, so we're going to move up the timeline to the 1900s. And John G. Lake was a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, a church planter, and he was a healing minister with many, many, many supernatural miracles. And he and his family went down to Africa, predominantly South Africa. And at this time, the Black Plague was happening. And one quarter of this whole nation died. Makes COVID look like a sneeze, doesn't it? Like nothing. And so John G. Lake, with his assistant, he wants to go help. People are dying all over the place. And people, you know, nobody wants to get close. And they didn't even have masks. Nobody wants to get close. And so he goes, he says, "I'll help carry the dead out of the houses." So he and his assistant, they're carrying the dead out of the houses. And they're taking them over to where they're getting buried. And as they do, one of the doctors finally says to him, he says, "What's your secret? What's going on with you? How come you don't get sick? You know, I mean, we're like protected as much as we can be. What's up with you?" And John G. Lake says, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Romans 8 verse 2. Carrying the dead out who had died of Black Plague with an assistant, and they never got sick, they never got anything, was a part of manifesting the reality of God. But he lived God's reality by faith. And he went on in this same vein to show these doctors an exhibition. I always love when a faith man or a faith woman will show how big God is. Don't be afraid of this, because when it's coming to you too. You want to manifest God's reality? Don't be afraid to show and share how big God is. He said, "Go ahead, wipe some of that slather coming out of their mouth from the Black Plague on my hand. Put it under the microscope." And it died. Died in his hand. I mean, it was living and moving and wiggling, and it died. He said, "Put some on a slide and put it under the microscope." He touched the slide and they died. That's power. That's manifesting the reality of God. That's grace. That's God's supernatural ability, but he did it by faith. See, he was willing to hear the Lord and obedient. He moved his whole family without any money. Just went by faith. But he believed God in his heart, and his mind was always on God. His processing, his thinker. He was always thinking about God and thinking the thoughts about God. That's where his focus was. This was John G. Lake's personal book of Acts. That's really what it was. And it got written before the Lord, and it's historically recorded for us. So my question to you in manifesting the reality of God is, what do you want your personal book of Acts to read like? What do you want it to say? Because if you're going to manifest the reality of God, you're going to have a personal book of Acts recorded before the Lord. You don't want it to be a blank slate. It started when you got born again. I'm going to encourage you not to leave it at that. So a couple of weeks ago, manifesting the reality of God, I taught on the heart. And that was a pretty heavy day. And I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't listened to the podcast, go back and listen to it. If you heard it that day a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to encourage you to hear it again. Because the heart is the driver of our life. It's the driver of the automobile of our life. In every area, what the heart believes, good, bad, or indifferent. The next thing that feeds the heart is the mind, our thought process, how we think. And that's what we're going to finish up. We started that last week. I'm going to finish that up today. Go to Romans chapter 8. Can you all read in here okay? Or do you need the lights on? You good? Okay. Romans chapter 8. Because I want to give you a picture of how we're either going to live as a natural man or woman, or we're going to live as a spiritual man or woman. We're either going to live in the natural realities, or we're going to live in the spiritual realities. One or the other, depending on what we think. First is our heart, then is what we think. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. And for time's sake, I'm going to read this only out of the Passion. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh, the natural part of us that lives in the natural realities and manifests the natural realities, is death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. I better read this in the New King James. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Their thinking, their thought, their everything that goes on in here is according to the flesh or the natural man or the natural realities. But those who live according to the Spirit, that's us. The things of the Spirit. Wow. For to be carnally minded or naturally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He's speaking about the way we think and what it results in, either as a natural man or woman or a spiritual man or woman. And that reality, we can be born again, we can live in the natural, and we can see a fruitless life. We can see Zippo in the manifestation of the reality of God and just make it to heaven. Is that what you want? I mean, pretty much everybody will say no. If we want to manifest God's reality, then we've got to make a change in how we think. Period. We've got to choose to focus our mind on the things of God. Do you know that the natural mindset, the natural thinking, will never be satisfied with focusing on God? The natural thinking, the natural mind, the Bible says, is hostile toward the things of God. So we've got to start changing our thinking, our focus. The more we think in the natural aspect, look at what's going on in the world, again, this is it, this is the reality. It is not our reality. It might be the world's reality, but it is not yours and mine. Not the supply chain, not the healing, not the prosperity, nothing. God is bigger than all of this. And His reality doesn't change when there's a problem. When there's an issue with the country, with the state, with the city, with your family, with your marriage, with your friendships, with your kids. It doesn't change. His reality for you does not change. It's all done by faith. Amen? James 1 verse 8, I'm only going to go to part of this. James 1 verse 8 says, a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their ways. This is somebody that's thinking on the natural mindset, focused carnally, focused on the world, the flesh, and the devil, thinking about it all the time. Or the one that is thinking about the spiritual aspect, the what God says and who He is and what His reality is for us. Now, we're double-minded if we're in both veins. Do you know that? And we're unstable in all our ways. And I'm going to tell you real up front, we're all there at times. This is to get our attention. Where do we want to live? If you want to live more predominantly as a spiritual man or woman manifesting God's reality in your life, then you're going to stay focused on the things of God, and your flesh is going to hate it.
Yeah. Amen.
Not going to like it. But your spirit and eventually the rest of you will come in line with the truth of the Word and begin to hunger and thirst and crave the things of God and His reality. Much more than what we can see, taste, touch, gain in this world. Proverbs 4 verse 23, we did this last week. Proverbs 4, 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep is to guard in the Hebrew. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart. This is literally in the Hebrew. Guard your heart and guard your mind. It's not just guarding the core of your emotions and your feelings. It's guarding your heart where you believe, and it's guarding what you think, what comes into your mind. You know, the reality is that most of us do not guard our minds. We try to guard our hearts the best way we can, but we don't guard our minds. We don't have a perimeter. We don't have a fence. We don't have anything in our minds that's guarded. We're just open because we are saturated with information today. More than ever before, more than any other time on this planet, we can, at the click, show me your phones. You all got them. Is there anybody that doesn't have a cell phone? One. This thing here, this little device, has got more information available to it to get to us than they had for centuries of time. And we can have it right now, in a moment. In a moment. We don't need to think about anything anymore. We don't need to think anything through or consider or meditate. All we got to do is click, and the answer and the information is right there. Whatever it might be. And of course, it leads to other things. It's kind of like an open door. Is it doing our thinking for us? Is it doing our thinking for us? The internet, the TV, Facebook, friends, family? Is that doing our thinking for us in our mind? Is that what's leading us? Is that what we're hearing? Is that what's sowing the seed into our minds? Is that what provides the gas for the engine that drives the car? The brain, the mind, the thinking is the engine that drives the car where your heart, or powers the car where your heart is doing the driving for your life. You want to have the ability to manifest God's reality, you've got to get your thinking squared away. I'm so glad we prayed today this way. I'm so glad you got that word. Most of us, in our minds are like, they got open borders. I'm going to tell you, I lived in Southern California, and I lived in Southern Nevada. I've been down along the border. I've been to Mexico a lot, and Arizona, and I got to tell you, open borders are a bad thing. They are bad for a lot of reasons. Not that I don't feel for people that don't have what we have, but I'm going to tell you, it's a bad thing. Because all kinds of stuff comes across the border that is detrimental to life. Yes. I'm talking about the natural border between the states and Mexico. Our minds have open borders, typically. We got this phone. And you can go anywhere you want to go on it. You can do anything you want to do. You can get any information you want to access is there, and it comes with all kinds of other things. And it's all seed. Every single bit of it is seed that goes right into here. Because it comes right through here or here. It's all seed. And you know, the Lord set up seed to do one thing. Produce after itself in Genesis. So what we focus on, what we're feeding on, is producing fruit in our lives. Whether you agree with this or not, it is. And how much of that through that open borders of our mind is getting into our heart? Because that's how this works. It comes in here or here, and it goes into here. And then it's distributed down here. And it becomes a part of what we believe. And because we those things that we struggle with in manifesting the reality of God, we're not doing it because we've not guarded anything. Oh, it's okay to watch this. Or, oh, it's okay to listen to this. Or, it's okay to see this. Or, it's okay to read this. Or, it's okay to hear this. And it's not doing me any harm. Oh, yeah. You got any doubt and unbelief? Are you living as a natural man or a woman or a spiritual man or woman? Are you having a hard time living as a spiritual man or woman and manifesting the reality of God? How much time are you spending focusing on the world, the things of the world? I'm not saying you got to be totally ignorant of everything, but boy, you got to guard your heart and your mind with all diligence, because out of it spring the issues of life. Today, you know, we prayed for those who have a hard time with confusion and focusing and thinking things through in their mind. And I want to tell you that, you know, I've had the same issue. And I just talked to a young man who's I'm kind of mentoring. He's not part of our church. Who has a business owner, has a profitable, prosperous business. And he can't shut his mind down. And he's always thinking, here, 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 here. He says, how do I do this? Well, you have to start someplace. You have to start someplace. You want to ask the Holy Spirit to help you focus. That really is the beginning. Holy Spirit, help me focus. Help me do this. Help me focus my mind. Help me focus my thoughts. Help me think clearly. Help me do this. This is by faith, folks. You start by faith. We started by faith. We got born again. And all these spiritual realities became ours. Lord, help me focus. Help me begin to focus with clarity. He is our helper. The Holy Spirit is he's the paraclete. In the Greek, he's our helper. Does he want to help? Absolutely. Will he help? Absolutely. Do you believe he'll help? Well, I don't know. But I do. And he has helped me. He's just waiting on you to ask him for his help in focusing. So how do you manifest God's reality, and where do you really begin? After you begin this, where do you really begin? Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 2 and 3. This is so clear. You have to be willingly wanting to miss this. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Many of us have set our minds on the things of the earth. And you know, I'm going to tell you, that's why the church is in such a mess today. I'm not talking about you. But a lot of the church is in such a mess. It goes this way, and it goes this way, and in this we believe this, and we believe this, and we're going, you know, we're going forward. You know, hey, wait a minute. And there's divisions, and there's racial things, and it's like, what in the world? What kind of a body of Christ is this? Because our minds are set on the things of the world. Most. Not on God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died. This is the reminder. You died. You understand what that means? You died. You and I died. We're dead. I shared a couple weeks ago, when you look in the mirror, you're looking at nothing but a shell. That's it. This is just a shell. This is not the real me. You're going to be astounded when you see the real me. And I'm going to be astounded when I see the real you. Hallelujah. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's the reality. We can begin to live in God's reality that way. But we must set our minds. Hello. We must set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. Does it mean we got to make a change? Absolutely. Do you see this thing? This is an addiction.
Oh, amen.
This is an addiction. That's what it's become. And I'm going to tell you that there are many, many people, believers, who are absolutely bound to this thing. I mean bound, need deliverance from this and all that it represents. It's not evil in and of itself, but feeding and gleaning from the seed that comes through in all those different areas that we choose to go to sets our minds on things of the world. I was reading, thumbing through, anybody heard of Dr. Carolyn Leaf? Okay. She has some good stuff. She's a neuroscientist. She's a brain scientist. She functions, she's a believer that operates in understanding and explaining the brain and its operation. I was thumbing through a book of hers. I'll tell you what the book is. It's How to Clean Up the Mess of Your Mind. And I'm going to tell you that I had to put it down. It's way too, you know, I like to read. And I consider myself, you know, somewhat intelligent and can understand a lot of the scientific things and vernacular, different vernacular and stuff. But I got to tell you, it was way too heady for me. I thought, boy, this is, you know, this is how to get your mess cleaned up and start thinking straight in 65 days. I thought, oh, for Pete's sake. And I couldn't find one scripture in it. So she's given all the, at least what I could see, the mechanics of how to do this yourself. How to retrain yourself without God. In understanding how the brain works and the data and making, changing, and getting practical habits, which is, you know, okay. I said, God, you got a better way. You got a better, simpler way for people like me. So how do you do this with your mind if you've been focused on the world and you want to manifest the realities of God, so you're going to focus on the things of God and you're going to set your mind on the things of God? How do you do this? You begin to retrain and reprogram your brain. Romans chapter 12 verse 2, most of us know this. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, how in the world do you do this, Paul? You're giving me this scripture, and I know it's authored by the Holy Spirit. How do you do this? How do you understand about not being conformed to the world? Now, if you need to fast from this, from the internet, from Facebook, from television, even from friends or whoever you're getting bad seed from, you need to make a start. You need to fast, or you need to break it, what it's doing. I mean, maybe literally break it, but you might need to put it down and walk away from it for a time. If you have no control over these things that are feeding your minds, then you got a problem and you need to break it. Amen. That needs to be finished. That needs to be removed from the addictive part of your life. Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to affect you negatively for as long as you're glued to it. Because remember, the things of God don't satisfy the natural man or woman. But the spiritual man or woman, they do. So that's first. In not conforming to the world. This is what the world does and lives on, is this. It doesn't mean we don't have them or don't want them, but how do you use it? Second part, in reprogramming, and I'm going to ask you, those of you that want to do this, close your eyes, because I'm going to take you through a visualization. And I'm going to do this with you so you get a little taste of it, because this is what the Lord gave me. This is what I do. I have to, you know, Rosie and I were counselors, right? And we've had a lot of counseling training and things. Visualization is very much a part of what God gave us to use our imagination to see things. Can you let the kids know we're going to be 5 minutes late? Thank you. To let you see with your mind, because we're visual people, let you see with your mind how things work. When you can grasp it visually, you can get it. All right? So let me take you through, this is just one aspect of being transformed in the renewing of your mind. This is just one, because there's others. But listen to this. Now, this is in your PQ time. You know what PQ time is? personal quiet time. I don't care if it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, but you've got to have it. You've got to have it every day. You want to manifest God's reality in your life, you've got to have personal quiet time, PQ time. All right, I want you to do this. Now close your eyes with me. I'm going to do a little visualization. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want you to picture your mind, just to picture, okay, as an open field. Just see this open field. You're looking at this open field, wide open, beautiful field, okay? Could have some crops in it, could be just plowed, it could be, but whatever this field is, you're picturing in your mind this field, and it's open and it's beautiful. Might be mountains all around it, or there might be a lake beside it, whatever it is, but it's an open field. And you're looking at it, you go, that's my mind. Now I want you to picture this field, because this is your field. This isn't anybody else's field. This is all yours. I want you to picture putting up walls all around your field. All around the perimeter. The whole thing. They could be wood walls. They could be plexiglass. They could be cement. It could be just about anything. Mine are titanium. They can be as high or as short as you want. But you get these walls, get them built all around your field. Get it done, get it finished, and leave a gate. Go in and out. At this gate, there are sentries, and they work for you. Next, in this field, there's been planted some seed, some doubt seed, some seed that is obviously lies. There is seed that are things that just... could be perversions. Just anything. Seed is in there that doesn't belong in your field. It's a part of the natural man or woman. And it's a part of what God wants to transform. He wants to transform this field. So ask the Holy Spirit to identify the seed that needs to be removed from your field. Let him do it. And he's bringing it to your mind right now. He's highlighting it to you right now. Now this seed could look like a small plant. Could be a fairly new seed. It could look like a corn stalk. Or it could be as big as an oak tree. But whatever that seed is, it's there. It's in your field. And it's either going to bear fruit or it already has borne fruit. And you know it's bad. It keeps you from manifesting the supernatural reality of God in your life. When you see that seed verbally to yourself, say that you reject, speak right to it in your mind. I reject you. Seed, whatever that seed is, I reject you. I reject you from my field. And remember, you have the authority to do this. You have it. Now I want you to walk over, see yourself, walk over to where that seed is. And I want you to, depending on how big it is, I want you to pull it up. Pull it out of the ground. Or take a chainsaw and cut it down. And that shovel that's laying next to you, dig the roots out. Dig them out. All of it. So you got nothing but a hole in the ground left. And when you get it, I want you to picture in your field there's a bonfire. Whether it's a fire pit or whether it's a raging bonfire. And I want you to take that seed and all the remnants of that seed and all the aspects, the roots of that seed, and put them right in that bonfire. And watch them smoke up. Just go. Disappear. Be gone. It can't be there anymore. Burned up. Removed. Now walk over to that hole where you dug that seed out. And take the seed of a scripture that is important to you. Just one. And put the seed of that scripture in the ground and cover it over and pack it down and put a little water on it. Because that's your promise taking root now in your mind that gets to your heart. And after you do this, it's time to take an intentional faith step in some particular area that you just did. Something that is by faith to begin to manifest the reality of God in your life. If you do this, this will begin to break the desire to be fed by the world, by the flesh, and by the devil. This will begin to transform your mind. This will begin to make the change so you're not conformed to the world, but conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Then you can manifest the reality of God more and more in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we had a little different kind of service today. My heart, my prayer is that this was a benefit. That this gives you a tool to show you what you can do and how you can practically apply the word to your life and to your thinking to manifest the reality of God in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this day, this time, for all the seeds that are taking root now, the good seeds that are taking root, and all that have been removed. Lord, I love you and we love you and thank you for changed lives powerfully and for showing us all, helping us all to manifest your reality going forward much more in Jesus' name. Have a blessed week, everybody. Praise God.